Long Talk Radio.
Thank you.
a moment to be still. All in the place that we look back. And now we are here, our brother. All of the people we hear. They try to cut the sea. What love the things I want. I long for you, why you come around. My life belongs to Jesus. Many times we feel like the night. That is what you do when one day comes. We know why you come around. Because we got no day to be. The promise of the night. Oh, you have to come back to us. You have to come back to us. Stay tied up with that last one. You have to come back to us.
And more and more, don't keep your hands on me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. We are excited. Father God, we praise you. We glorify your name. We exalt your name, Lord Jesus. We honor you now, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. We honor you now, for this is the day that you have made. We are rejoicing, and we are glad, exceedingly glad, Lord Jesus.
We are exceedingly glad because you have chosen us. Lord, we are here today as always. We will be here if no one else can be here. We will be here because we have made a covenant with the Lord to be here. And we want to talk today on the subject matter. There will be judgment for the just and the unjust. There will be judgment for the just and the unjust. And here in this book of Ezekiel chapter 12 and chapter 13, we're going to be ministering from there in a little bit, in a little while. But we want to look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. Jesus is speaking. He gave us the beatitude and given us instructions how to live. But he continued to talk. All this book is basically on instructions how to live, how to be a part of the kingdom. Well, he had encounters with the Pharisees and the scribes and all those that supposedly in authority in Israel, in Jerusalem, in Judah. And this thing he says to this, it doesn't matter what your position was or what your position is, you still have to come before the judge. The Bible talks about the rain. He used this analogy here. Jesus says that you may be, he said, let's go to verse 43. Let's go to verse 41. Jesus, thank you, Brother Deacon. He says, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him train, or go 2 miles. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his son to rise on the evil and on the good. And he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Jesus is setting examples for us. He's given us the inscription or the prescription or the blueprint on how to live a life that pleases God, because what is happening? Judgment is going to come. He's telling us that we have to live this life so that when judgment comes, yes, the judgment we will have is a righteous judgment. Hallelujah. A righteous judgment. You know, you can go before the judge or the magistrate, and the magistrate can give, you can call it an evil judgment or a righteous judgment. Even though you've done evil, the magistrate says, well, today I believe that you are a man with a good heart or a woman with a person with a good heart. And even though you fall into this time, hardship of your life that caused you to do something wrong. And he might say, well, we're going to give you 2 years and we're going to suspend the whole 2 years or 5 years. And when he says 5 or 10 years, you're here will stand up on your head. And if you don't have no hair, your eyes will open wide. 10 years, 5 years, but then he says all five, all ten suspended. That means that you don't serve not one day. He gave you a righteous judgment when you should have got an evil judgment. Jesus says if we live the way that he has given us to live, we will get a righteous judgment. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this time that we're about to sit at this table and break bread for your people. Lord, we ask, God, that you cleanse my mind, my thoughts, my heart, my soul, God. Lord, cleanse my tongue, that my tongue would only speak what thus you say to it. Lord, allow my eyes and my ears to hear from heaven, to hear and see what heaven will give to us today. Father, I bless this word. I pray over this word today that you honor it, O God, as we deliver it in the atmosphere for those that are in the north, the south, the east, and the west. We pray for Apostle Linda Washington, and we pray for Bishop James Washington. We pray for Apostle Millie Jefferson and Prophetess Kershey, Cheryl Kershey. Lord, we pray for Minister Deron Jones, oh God, and we pray for Brother Deacon Fraser, for Apostle Ronnie Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart. We pray for Evangelist Brown, Evangelist Campbell, Evangelist Sheila. Well, we pray for Minister Andrea Buckmas, Lord. We pray for all those and the Prophetess Jackie Taser. And we pray for Apostle LeGrand, Apostle Victoria Miles, and all those at the round table, and Prophetess Evangelist Curtis and Evangelist Blanche, and all those at the time that are part of the ministries all over the world. Oh, God, we pray for Apostle David in Ghana, Lord God. Pray for Apostle David Mudwer in Kenya. Lord, we pray for all those that are standing on the wall like Nehemiah and make a decision they're not going to come down. Lord, there were tornadoes and all types of wild storms and all over this country. We even getting serious rain today, but thank God no tornado. Now we just praising God that our friends and our family members in Louisiana and Texas and Mississippi and Tennessee and all the states, Lord God, that we have friends and family in, and even the ones that we don't have friends and family in, we pray that there are no life lost, oh God, because we can't only pray for family members too. We got to pray for the ones that are not our spiritual family or physical family. We got to pray for them. We ask, God, that you continue to, oh God, stretch out your arms over the United States of America, that those that are not saved might come to get to a place where they want to be saved. We know that everyone need to be saved, but they might get to that place where they want to be saved. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We haven't gotten a word from Evangelist Campbell, if she's going to minister tomorrow or not. She usually sent me the word early in the week, but she didn't send me a word. So anyway, the word going to go forth tomorrow either way. If she comes or don't come, because we make a commitment to God, so the word got to go forth. Now, here in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 12, phone is going off already. Mm-hmm. Ezekiel chapter 12. He said, and the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, you are dwelling in the midst of the house of rebellion. Who has eyes to see and they do not see? They have ears to hear, and they do not hear. For they are a house of rebellion. Hear what God is saying. If the Bible says, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 15. We're talking about when there will be judgment on the just and the unjust. And we said in Matthew chapter 5 that when he reigns on the just and the unjust. That means the person who is somewhat walking right before God and the person that who is not walking it right before God at all. You can't see a white man go side or a Caucasian, let's say a Caucasian, Indian, Latino, African American goes out and the rain begin to fall, and none of them have umbrellas, and only the African American would get wet, or only the Caucasian would get wet. No, it doesn't work like that. You understand? It doesn't work like that. When he rains on the just and the unjust. It doesn't matter what nationality, what color, what class, what creed, what nation you come from, when you go out there and it's raining, when the sun is shining, it shines on everybody. When you step outside, you will feel, experience the heat of the sun. It don't care what color you are. When we want to live our life in a way that when God comes into this realm, when he enter into this realm, that he will receive us. Yes, for the times we talk unseemly, we're going to be judged. For the times that we did good things, we're going to be judged. The Bible says we shall give an account of every idle word that comes out of our mouth. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And this is what he says. And Samuel, verse 22, Samuel said, have the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Listen when you talk about rebellious. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. No. I want you to see that. What God is saying here. When we get stubborn and saying we don't want to go to church, we don't want to go to the land, we don't want to fellowship, you're not doing the pastor any harm. You're not doing the apostle any wrong. You're not doing the bishop any wrong, the evangelist, the teacher, or the deacon no wrong. The deacon is at his post. The apostle is at his post. The bishop is at their post. But what you're doing is you're rejecting the word of God. Hallelujah. The Bible said we should not forsake the assembly with the brethren. Let's go to Psalm 133. The Lord is just saying, talking some stuff here. So if he dropped these things in my spirit, and these are books that I haven't touched in a long time, but I'm hearing them in my spirit. He says, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to join together in unity. When we come together, something happens. We're in unity as we seek the Lord's face. Go back to the scripture in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and unjust. I want you to know that. He maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Here in Ezekiel, he says that they have eyes and they cannot see. They have ears and they do not hear. For they are a house of rebellion, witchcraft. And you, son of man, talking to the preacher, prepare for yourself a baggage of exile and go into exile by there before their eyes. And you must go into exile from your place to another place. Now, no. Exile, as I looked at this yesterday, is for a person to be deported from the place of residency or city or nation or continent to another place. Sometimes Paul was exiled on, John was exiled. St. John, he was exiled on an island called Patmos. They didn't kill him. They couldn't kill him because they put him in a pot of oil, boiling pot, and they couldn't kill him. So they said, well, we got to get rid of this man of God. We got to get rid of him. So we had put him on an island all by himself. Hallelujah. He had to fight to survive. And God showed up, giving visions of heaven. Ezekiel had to leave the city because the city was a rebellious city, people that rebel against God. And he told Ezekiel that when you're going to leave the city, leave in the sight of the people. Let them see you leaving. Ezekiel is commanded to stage another scene, which symbolized the exile and punishment of Judah. The dramatization of prophecy is as well-developed practice for Ezekiel, begun in the sign acts of chapter 4 and chapter 5. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 17. Verse 2, he said, Son of man, the standard address Yahweh to Ezekiel. This is how he addresses this prophet. As the Son of Man. Jesus is the Son of God, but Ezekiel is the Son of Man. He says, a unique phrase used in Ezekiel to refer collectively to the people of Israel. He called it a rebellious people. In chapter 2, verse 5 of Ezekiel, these people are still, we are all the way in chapter 12, and they're still acting the same way. Years has passed by, months and days and hours and minutes and seconds has passed by, and these people are still acting the same way. How are we acting today? Are we declaring that we are changed, that we have been reformed, that we have been renewed, that we have not conformed to this world system, that we have been transformed by the renewal of our minds? Is the way we live in and the way we talking and treating people, is the way people see us, are they seeing us as a transformed people? Think about it. He said, while Ezekiel will act out his prophecy in plain view, the people will still not understand. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Matthew chapter 13, verse 13. He told Ezekiel to pack his suitcases. The Assyrian reliefs depict personal prisoners being deported and carrying luggage bags, large bags, on their shoulders. The tumult claimed that the baggage consisted of a sleeping mat, a lamp, and a bowl. Ezekiel was part of the first group of exiles, along with King Jehoiakim, in 507 B.C. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 2. You see it back there. Now, and you must bring your luggage like the baggage of an exile by day before their eyes. You must allow them to see you leaving the city. They must know that the prophet will no longer be in the city in the midst of this rebellious people. This is God speaking, talking to Ezekiel. And you must go out in the evening before their eyes. Let them see you. Those who go into exile before their eyes, dig through for yourself through the wall, and you must bring the baggage out through it. Before their eyes on your shoulders, you must lift up the baggage in the dust, and your face must cover it. He said, Ezekiel, now cover your face. He's going to dig a hole in the wall. He's not going through the door. He's going to come through the wall with his bag on his shoulder. The people must see him. But he covered his face so that he wouldn't breathe in the dust from the wall. And then he said, so that you may not see the land, for I make you as a sign to the house of Israel, and I did just as I was commanded. My baggage, like the baggage of an exile, I brought out by day, and in the evening I dug through for myself into the wall with my hands in the dust. I brought the baggage on my shoulder. I carried it before their eyes. And the word of Yahweh, our God, came to me in the morning, saying, Son of man, verse 9, did not dare the house of Israel, the house of rebellion, say to you, what are you doing? Say to them, thus says the Lord Yahweh, the oracle is about the prince in Jerusalem and in the entire house of Israel who are among them. Say, I am your sign, and just as I did, so will it be done to them. In the exile, into captivity, they will go, and the prince who is in the midst of them, on his shoulder, he will carry the baggage in the dust, and he will go out. The wall will be dug through to bring him through it, and he will cover his face so that he will not see the land with his eyes. And I will spread out my net on him, and he will be captured in my hunting snare. And I will bring him to Babylon, the land of the Chaldeans, but he will not see it. There he will die, and all who are around him, his help, and all of his troops, I will scatter in every direction. Now see what Ezekiel carrying his luggage on his shoulders is a sign for Israel. For Jerusalem, for Judea. The people are living a promiscuous lifestyle, a corrupt lifestyle, a rebellious lifestyle in the presence of the Lord. They don't have no care, no respect for God. They're doing their own thing. You can say that. They're doing their own thing. Look at us, America. Look at Africa. Look at India, China, Japan, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, all the nations of the world. You have a few Christian people that are still, that are sold out to the kingdom, that are still praising and praying to God, talking to God, still fasting and praying and seeking God. But look at the majority of people. They're doing their own thing. They're not concerned about worship. They're not concerned about praising and praying to God. They're thinking about their finances. They're thinking about their health, their wealth, their homes, their cars, all this stuff, their job. They're wondering if because things are going, getting, it's turning so fast, are they going to lose their home? Are they going to lose their cars? Are they going to be able to find food to eat? All these things are going on. They're not concerned about God. They're not concerned about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. They're not concerned that knowing that he's the same God that spoke all of this stuff that we're thinking about into existence. He didn't plant the trees, he spoke the trees. All this stuff is spoken into existence. Just spoke it. And if we call upon him, we will not run out. I got to go to my garden. I got some pineapples hatching. So when it wants to start to get roots, I'll plant them and I'll get my own pineapples in my backyard. And I got to plant some vegetables and stuff, you know, out there. Because I'm trusting God for these things to come up. He says, and I will spread out my net on him. Let's jump down. Verse 14. And all who are around him, his help, and all of his troops, I was scattered in every direction. God said, verse 15, and they will know that I am Yahweh when I scattered them. God is not doing anything in secret. America think that God, that they can do all they're doing in France and Germany and China and Africa and in Russia and Ukraine. All of them think they can do all that they want to do to the people of God and that God don't see. But I got news for you. When the same way they do their stuff is the same way God going to do his stuff. Everybody going to know that he is God. He said, say in the word. He told Ezekiel to come up from among them and go into exile. In other words, leave your home and go to someplace else. Say, because I'm going to do something to these people. I'm going to let them see that I am Yahweh. Judgment is coming upon them. Ezekiel was facing stuff right now, going through stuff right now, because he had to leave his nice home, the home that God gave him. And now he didn't come out of it pleasant. Because God was setting a sign for the wicked people of Jerusalem, of Israel. He was setting a sign for them. Because the same thing that his servant experienced, these people, Israel will experience. Everything that Ezekiel did, everything that he had to go through, Israel will go through. And they will go through it a little harsher than he go through it. Because God is setting a sign using him. And God told him to tell them, everything that you see that I'm going through right now, going to come upon you. Can you imagine the people hearing Ezekiel saying this stuff to them? That everything he's going through, he wasn't going through any easy thing. It was hardship. Digging through the wall with his hands. He didn't have a pick. He didn't have a shovel. He didn't have a spade or something, or a hammer or something that he can dig in the wall. He was digging through with his hands. Can you imagine his fingernails full of crap? Digging through this wall, being obedient to God. He didn't say, well, God, why don't you send a mason down here to help me, a carpenter or somebody to help me? He's obedient. When God says to us to do something, don't try to figure, well, God, why do I got to turn on the prayer line every Friday night and Saturday night? God, why I got to come on Blog Talk Radio every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Why do I have to turn on the computers every day? No, just go and turn on the computers. Some of us are going through stuff that we really need God to bring us through. Well, you got to trust God. You got to trust God while you're going through. And you can't give up and say, well, I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that because I'm going through too much. No, you got to trust God. Even when I'm feeling bad, I got to still trust God. You see me ministering with pain in my neck, my arteries swollen. Blood and flowing is where it should be, and I still minister. Can't talk, and I still minister. And as soon as I start to minister, God clear up my esophagus. Here. Verse 16. But I will spare from them a few men from the sword, from the famine, and from the plague, so that they may tell all the abomination among the nations to which they will go. And they will know that I am God, I'm Yahweh. See, even though the people are wicked, God says to Ezekiel that he's going to save some of them. They're not escaping judgment. I want you to know this. If you live in sin, you're not going to escape judgment. God may save you. Sometimes you say, well, why are these people are selling drugs? They're prostituting. They're lying. They're cheating. They're stealing. They're doing all of these stuff, but they're still living. You say, why it seem like they're prospering? They got new homes. They're driving BMWs and Lexus and Mercedes-Benz. They got nice cars. And I'm preaching the gospel every day. I'm singing in the choir. I'm singing on the praise team. I'm playing in the church orchestra or the church band. And it seems like I'm not prospering. You know, all this thing you begin to say to yourself. You come to a while wondering why some people are prospering and I'm working for the Lord and it seems like I'm not prospering. Well, don't worry about. See, we worry about the the sin of man and see that the sin of man is prospering, and they got a big money roll, bank roll in their pocket. They can't put no money in the bank because they don't work no way. They're on the streets peddling drugs and narcotics and so on. So they walk around with all their money in their pocket. And if they got some in the house in the safe, when the police bust in the house, when the drug people drop bomb in the house, they take the safe. The police officer detected the narcotics officers, they take the safe. So all that money that you were jealous over, they take. The government have it. Police officers have it. He says, you must, I'm going to save some of the people that they would tell of the abomination that happened in their nations. To which they would tell it to the nations in which they will go. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, you must eat your food with trembling and your water with shuddering and with anxiety, which must, you must drink. And you must say to the people of the land, thus says the Lord Yahweh to the inhabitants of Jerusalem about the land of Israel. They will eat their food with anxiety, and their water they will drink with sorrow, because their land will be desolate from its fullness because of all the violence of those who are dwelling in it. When he reigns on the just and the unjust. Everybody is suffering right now. It's being the pinch. They're bearing the pinch of the high gas prices, the high prices in the grocery stores, the high prices at the mall, even to buy a new suit or a new dress, new shoes, the price is almost double. You can't pay the price for the computers. Computer prices are going up. The digital watches are going up. That's why I keep in my old digital watch. Right, computers, I got many computers, but they're old. You know, I pay X amount of dollars for this one that I have here. This is about 5 or 6 years old, maybe older. And they want me to get a new one now. But if I trade this one, they might give me $120 for this, maybe less. But then I still got to pay about $1,200 for the new one. So I said, this one is working fine. He says that their land going to become desolate. And the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, what is this proverb you people have about the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged, and every vision has come to nothing. Now the people begin to claim in these false prophets and saying that the days are long, they're not being shortened. In other words, they can continue to sin and do whatever makes them feel good. Because God is not shortening the time. They're still able to party and get drunk and do all the stuff that they're doing. We're doing the same thing here in the United States of America. Because it seems like everything is going their way. They get they burn buildings, they break into homes, they break into the stores, they steal the jewelry and the clothes and all that stuff. They go to the courts and the courts slap them on their hand and send them back on the street because of the government that we have. People are not paying the price for their crimes. God said to the prophet Ezekiel, they say that the days are prolonged and every vision has come to nothing. Therefore, say to them, Ezekiel, speak to them. Say to them, thus says the Lord Yahweh, I will put an end to this proverb. And they will not quote it as a proverb again in Israel. But say to them, thus the days are near, and also the word of every vision. Hear what the Lord is saying. to Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel. As I told you before, he was one of the elite prophets of the Old Testament. For there will not able be any longer a false vision. You get false visions from false visionaries. You get false prophets, prophecy from false prophets. God says it's going to come to an end. Or flattering divinations in the midst of the house of Israel. This is false prophets. False prophecy from false prophets. For I, Yahweh, God, will speak what I will speak as a word, and it will be done. God says, what I say will come to pass. That's why we got to listen and hear what God is saying. He said, I will not prolong itself. It will not prolong itself any longer. For in your days, house of rebellion, I will speak a word, and I will fulfill it, declares the Lord Yahweh. And the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, look, the house of Israel is seeing. The vision that he is seeing is for many days from now. The prophet is saying now. The word that he speaks, the vision that he sees, is for now. He is prophesying. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord Yahweh, none of my words will be prolonged any longer that I speak as a word, and it will be fulfilled, declares the Lord Yahweh. God is saying, listen to it. Let's go back up and come down. Listen to God. Ah, Jesus. Ezekiel went out in the evening before the people, allowing the people to see him as he was. You must go out in the evening. Ezekiel's departure at evening is usual. Since night would not seem to be the optimal time, optimal time to begin a long journey. The darkness may symbolize the exile's desire to avoid capture. The timing makes sense if Ezekiel acts in is understood as mirroring what happens to Zedekiah, who flees, besieges Jerusalem at night in 2 Kings 25, chapter 25, verse 4. Now, the action of Zedekiah and his army, who breached the walls of Jerusalem to escape in 2 Kings 25 and 4, perhaps symbolizing the exile's ignorance of their destination or grief over the loss of the land. 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 4 and 5. The image is repeated in Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 12, with reference to the king's departure in exile, into exile. Ezekiel's actions made him a sign, a mopheth in Hebrew, M-O-P-H-E-T-H, Mophesh. A living reminder of God's prophetic word. Isaiah is similarly called a Mophesh, after a dramatic sign in Isaiah chapter 20, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18. Now, the people apparently saw but did not understand Ezekiel's actions. The question gives him the opportunity to explain the sign in detail. Now, the oracle is about the prince in Jerusalem. It refers to Zedekiah. Zedekiah is in the midst of all of this rebellious or witchcraft, idolatry movement that's in Israel. Ezekiel uses the title Nasi or Nasi, however you want to pronounce it, S-A-S-I, or prince for Zedekiah, brother of Josiah, and uncle of the rightful king, Jehoiakim. Ezekiel never refers to Zedekiah as king or Melech, since the status of king in exile was still afforded to Jehoiakim, who was living in Babylon. So, will it be done to them? Ezekiel explained that he had been dramatizing the captivity and exile of Zedekiah and his officials. The explanation reviews all the details of what Ezekiel was commanded to do and when God, Jehovah El Shaddai, had given him instructions. But he will not see it, possibly an allusion to Zedekiah being blinded by the Babylonians. In 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 7, they took out his eyes. For the sword from the famine, the judgment associated with the curses from the Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 26. In Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 1 to 4, 14. And chapter 7, verse 5, verse 15 of Ezekiel. Now, they may tell all their abominations. A group of survivors is preserved precisely so they can acknowledge Israel's guilt to the nations. There's many things going to happen in the United States coming future. Many will die here and abroad. But many will survive to testify of the mercy and grace of God and of the abomination that is in the land. You must eat your food with trembling, reminiscent of the seized nations from chapter 4, verse 10 to 11. 10 and 11, Ezekiel. Ezekiel now depicts either the rations of prisoner heading into exile or the plight of someone left in the land after invaders have destroyed nearly everything. It will be desolate from its fullness. The land will be desolate. Invading armies often took the crops and livestock of the inhabitants. You people have indicates a proverb popular among the people of Israel. Every vision has come to nothing. The people have become complacent in light of repeated prophecies of judgment that have not been fulfilled. But God says something. The days are near, and the truth is opposite of what the proverbs proclaim or claim. The time of judgment and the fulfillment of all predictions and doom will be soon. Any false vision, false prophecy, was a problem during Ezekiel's day, especially in Jerusalem, where prophets promoted a false sense of security among the people. Jeremiah chapter 28 and chapter 29 talks of this. Yahweh has tired of false prophets claiming to speak of his on his behalf and expecting the false vision to be fulfilled. Ezekiel 13 expands. Ezekiel 13 expands on the problem of false prophecy and what will happen to the false prophets. None of my words will be prolonged. Judgment is now imminent. After being long promised but delayed in hope that the people will repent, God himself has held back judgment on us, the United States of America, on Africa, on India, on China, Japan, Pakistan, Syria, Jerusalem, Israel, the Philippines, the Fiji Islands, Russia, Ukraine, all over the world, Germany, Italy. God has held back judgment, hoping that the people will come to a place of repentance. Following the condemnation of false visions in Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 1 to 23. Ezekiel receives an oracle directed at false prophets. The oracle addresses male prophets who lie about having received a divine word and female prophets who engage magical practices. See, instead of saying and doing exactly what God says, they use false divination, witchcraft to mesmerize the people, saying that God is saying God is doing. And the word of Yahweh came to me, chapter 13 of Ezekiel, son of man, prophesy to the prophets of Israel who are prophesying, and you must say to those who are prophets out of their own imaginations, hear the word of Yahweh, or hear the word of God. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, alas, for the foolish prophets who are going after their own spirit, and they did not see anything, your prophets have been like foxes among ruins. You did not go up into the breaches and repair a wall for the house of Israel to stand firm in the battle on the day of Yahweh. They saw falseness and a lying divination. The one saying declaration of Yahweh. And Yahweh did not send them. And they wait for confirmation of the word. Have you not seen a false vision and spoken a lying divination? And you said declaration of Yahweh. But I myself did not speak. Therefore, thus says the Lord Yahweh, because you're speaking falseness, and because you envision a lie, therefore, look, I am against you, declares the Lord Yahweh. And I will be my hand against the prophets. And it will be my hand against the prophets who are seeing falseness and who are practicing lying divinations. They will not be in the council of my people. In other words, God is saying he's going to remove the false prophets and the false prophetess. And they will not be written down in the record book of the house of Israel. There will not be any memory of them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And into the land of Israel, they will not come. And then you will know that I am the Lord Yahweh. Because they led my people astray, saying peace and there is not peace. And when anyone does a flimsy wall, look, they coat it with whitewash. Say to those covering it with whitewash that it will fall. There will be a torrent of rain. There will be a torrent of rain. And I will give stones of hail. They will fall. And a windstorm will burst forth. And look, when the wall falls, will it not be said to you, where is the whitewash with which you cover it? Therefore, thus says the Lord Yahweh. And so I will let burst forth a windstorm in my rage, and there will be a torrent of rain in my anger, and hailstones in my rage, for the complete destruction. And I will break down the wall that you cover with whitewash, and I will knock it to the ground, and its foundation will be revealed, and it will fall, and you will come to an end in the midst of it, and you will know that I am Yahweh, and I will fully vent my rage against the wall and against those covering it with whitewash. And I will say to you, the wall is no more, and the people covering it are no more. That is the prophets of Israel, the one prophesying concerning Jerusalem, and the one seeing visions of peace. And there is not peace, declares the Lord Yahweh. And you, son of man, talking to Ezekiel, place your face towards the daughters of your people who prophesy from their imaginations and prophesy against them. And you must say, thus says the Lord Yahweh, woe. Woe to those who sow magic charms, bands on all the wrists of the hands of my people, and those who make the veils that are on the head of my people over every height to ensnare people's lives. Will you ensnare the lives of my people and keep yourselves alive? And you defile me among my people for a handful of barley and a morsel of bread to kill persons who should not die, and to keep alive persons who should not live by means of your lies to my people who are listening to your lies. Therefore, thus says the Lord Yahweh, look, I am against your magic charms, bands with which you are ensnaring persons as birds. I will tear them from your arms, and I will release the persons that you are ensnaring, treating persons as birds. And I will tear off your veils, and I will deliver my people from your hands, and they will not any longer be in your hands as prayer. And you will know that I am Yahweh, because you dishearten the heart of the righteous by deception, and I have not caused him and strengthened the hands of the wicked, so that he did not turn from the wicked way, his wicked way, to save his life. Therefore, falseness will not see, and divination you will not practice any longer, and I will rescue my people from your hand, and you will know that I am the Lord Yahweh. Verse 13. Foreigner, fall into the condemnation of false visions in chapter 12, verse 21 to 28. Ezekiel receives an oracle directed at false prophets. The oracle addresses male prophets who lied about having received a divine word, and a female prophet who engaged in obscure magical rites. The prophets, out of their own imaginations, their own feeling, their own thoughts, their own expectations. The false prophets apparently were engaging the king and the people of Jerusalem with hopes of divine deliverance from Babylon. Jeremiah confronted such false prophets directly and urged the king to ignore their lies. Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 12 to 15. Alas for the foolish prophets. The interjection, Howie, woe, expresses pity, pain, or disappointment, and marks this as a particular type of prophetic theme, like foxes among roans. The prophets were cunning, motivated by their own self-interest. The term sheol means fox. But foxes and jackals in ancient Palestine were similar in size and appearance. The metaphor here likely draws on the fox's reputation for slyness. Luke chapter 13, verse 32. You did not go up into the breaches. The prophets neglected their responsibility to serve as watchmen and warn of impending danger in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. The day of Yahweh, Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 1 to 27, they wait for the confirmation of the word. Prophecy and divination in the ancient world had manipulative overtones. Incantations and rituals were designed to manipulate the deity into fulfilling requests. These false prophets believed that God would be bound to honor utterance made on his behalf. Now, they believed that once they called the name of the Lord Yahweh in their invocations, that God was obligated to honor, but God is not obligated to know man. The Council of Reference to the community, assembly of leaders, ironically, the false prophets are expelled from the People Council for failing in their duty to attend the divine council and share Yahweh's message. The full scope of the punishment involves total expulsion from the community, saying peace, and there is not peace. How many people you hear saying this stuff today? You hear it in the war in Ukraine, in Russia. The declaration that peace and prosperity were on the way, see Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14, was a false but popular message at the time. You hear a lot of prophets will prophesy when they have these prophetic meetings here, even right here in America, in Africa, in India. People will have these prophetic meetings, say we're going to a revival and we got prophet so-and-so coming. And the prophet would tell them, if you give this money and give that money, and some people would give them rent money, they give their car note, they give their food money, their light bill, their water bill, their gas. But you understand what I'm saying? Because they want to get, they want a word from the prophet. They want a word from the Lord. And the prophet would give them what they want to hear, but not what they need to hear. Because he's not hearing from God. How do you know? Because most of the time, that the stuff that they're prophesying or prophesying is not coming to true. the dislike of a prophet such as Jeremiah, who is arrested for preaching doom and destruction, reflects that he was not telling the people what they wanted to hear. The true prophet preaches the message without regard for whether it will be popular or well received. See, that's why I tell them on Blog Talk Radio all the time. You're preaching against sin. You're not preaching against the people. The people is not going to receive the message anyway, but it's not your concern. Your concern is to deliver the message. You're a male man. You're a male woman. Deliver the message of God to the people. If they receive it, they receive it. If they don't receive it. There's somebody God has out there in computer land that's going to listen to Blog Talk message that's going to be happy to receive the message. Hallelujah. Whitewash. The metaphor of the whitewash, the metaphor of the whitewash walls refers to the strong, sturdy appearance given to the fake, flimsy message of the false prophets. Jesus directed a similar metaphor at religious leaders in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 27. Glory to God. Jesus, he always quotes, a lot of times Jesus quotes the Old Testament, even though you have people today that they come against the Old Testament very strongly. Good preachers too. Well-known preachers. He says, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whitewashed sepulchres or whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outside, but are within full of dead men's bones and of uncleanness." Jesus used the same scripture. Use that analogy. Whitewash was with you covered. Whitewash with which you covered. The flimsy wall symbolizing the message of peace will fall. And the people will look to the false prophet for an answer. That's why we got to make sure that God is speaking. I always say, if I speak a word that did not come from the Lord, Lord, cause my tongue to cling to the roof of my mouth and never let me speak another word. So I ask God to allow me to hear his voice, follow his instructions. When I'm teaching, Lord, show me how to elaborate. I don't want to put stuff in the message just to make me sound eloquent or make me sound like I'm so knowledgeable or I have all this understanding. I want to say what God is saying. I will not break down the wall in the extended metaphor. In the extended metaphor, Yahweh brings rain and wind that destroy the whitewashed wall. His judgment will reveal the true nature of the message. See, if you're preaching a message and the message is not of God, it's not going to manifest. If you're just saying something to sound good, look good, or receive money from people, it's not going to work. It's not going to work because you're not really representing God. You're not really glorifying God. You will know that I am Yahweh. This formula is used in context with God's act to demonstrate his power. In Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 13, the daughters of the second half of the oracle is directed at the female prophets involved in magic. Ezekiel carefully avoids calling them prophetesses. He avoids calling them prophetesses. Woe to those who sow magic. Woe to those who serve magic charms on all the wrists of the bands of my people, and those who make the veils that are on the heads of people of every height. They're not short, tall, medium, or tall. They were making veils and putting on the people and making them feel like long they have these veils on them that they was going to prosper and that they would be able to hear from God and all this stuff they were doing. But he said, whoa, it's an indictment. The two parts of this oracle are divided by two woes, saying directly first at the male, then the female prophets. Now, the magic charm bands, the Hebrew word used here, kisef, is likely related to Akkadim, term for magic, Akkadim term for magic that uses bindings. The Babylonian incantations involve magical knots and bones. What veils? The rare Hebrew word used here, mishpacha, is used instead of normal word for veil, suggesting a special type of head covering used in magical rituals instead of people's lives. The Hebrew phrase used here likely refers to necromancy, the practice of attempting to communicate with the dead. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. He strengthened the hands of the wicked. The opposite of the proper role of the prophet as watchman. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, Ezekiel 18 and 21. Now, it's so important that God has used this to bring us to this place of condemnation of Israel, idolatrous as elders. You have people that are in the synagogue, people in the temple that are still into witchcraft. And God brought us all the way to show us this in chapter 14, that they step in even to a deeper form of idolatry. We have to be, to make sure that we don't get caught up in this vein. Okay? Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for the word that you have given us today. And I put a lot of scriptures in there in the two chapters. But we thank you, Father God, for you are such a faithful God. You are such a righteous God. We just bless and praise your holy name. Lord, we ask you to bless those that couldn't come on the line today, didn't come on the line, and bless those that came on to hear. We ask, Father God, that even right now that you will bless those that don't know you as Savior, Lord, and Savior, Lord. Father, we pray today, right now, that you will reach out from your throne in glory. And Lord, that you would release the spirit of forgiveness over this land, over the world, Lord, because there's so much hatred, so much evil in the land. We ask, oh God, you to release that spirit of drawing, because you said no one can come to the Father except you draw them. We pray now, Lord Jesus, that even as we go in to close out this message today, that God, that you will speak to us. You will speak to us. The Bible said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. John 3, 16 and 17. The Bible said that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, E-double-L, you and me, all of us. Hallelujah. We are not walking in sin, not living in sin, but we still have that sin nature. It's in our flesh. This is why so many leaders fall today, because that flesh shows up. You know, you're attracted to this body or that body, and it causes us to drift away, to be drawn away from the Savior. But the Bible says that, we read it back there just now, said it just now, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God the Father wants us to be saved. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, the gift of God. See, sin will send you to the lake of fire and brimstone. But the gift of God will give you access to the tree of life, to the function of life. It will give you access to living water. Jesus is living water. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the gift of God, the gift of God. It gives us access to the living water. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Remember the woman at the well in the book of John, when she went there, and Jesus sat there at Jacob's well waiting for her. Where she came to get one water, she got another water. She came to get the water that she really wanted. But she got the water that she needed. And she left the water that she wanted. And she went away with the water that she needed. The water that God gave her. Jesus gave her living water. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now the Bible says that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says that, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." See, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the gateway. He is the door to the Father. A lot of people might come in any other ways. The Bible said in the book of John that many will come in any other ways, try to come in anywhere. They're not going to come in. They're going to try. But he said there will be a thief. There will be thieves and robbers. There will be thieves and robbers. Glory to God. For all of them. So, Jesus says in the book, he says, you must accept Jesus as your only Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That's in Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. But Jesus says in Revelation 22 and 7, he says that, he said, behold, I'm coming quickly. He didn't say I was coming quick. But he said, I'm coming quickly. That is quicker than quick. Like the flash of a lightning, the twinkling of an eye, he'll be right there. So we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared. We have to receive him as Lord and Savior. Why? Because he's the one who gives life. And he gives life everlasting. This is the life that he gives. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe in him, that means anybody that believe in him will not be ashamed. Anybody who believe in him will not be ashamed. You have to take the time out and say, Lord, yes, Lord, I believe. The man brought his son. The blind man called out to Jesus. And Jesus asked him, do you believe that I can do this thing? He said, yes, Lord, I believe. Help my own belief. Jesus wants us to believe in him. He wants us to trust in him. Jesus can do mighty works, mightier works than we ever seen before. He will do for us. That's what he came to do. He came to set us free. There's no greater work than salvation. You know that? There's no greater work than salvation. You say, well, I want to be healed from cancer. But the greatest healing that you need is the healing from sin. The healing that would set you free, completely free from this lifestyle that we are living in. You know, that's what you need. You know, the lifestyle I used to live, that whoredom lifestyle, that alcoholic, drug addict, stealing, cussing, all blaspheming, every kind of sin I was living in. I can only talk about me. I can't talk about you. And he delivered me from that. There's no greater miracle than that, the salvation. And Jesus did that for all of us that would call upon him. In the book of Acts, he says that Peter said to the people, Peter's doing miracles, performing. He and John, Brother John, is performing miracles by the Spirit of Almighty God, performing miracles. And Peter made it, he kept it plain. He kept it focused that it wasn't him, but it was Jesus. The Jesus of Nazareth who they crucified, who they asked upon his palace, to give us Barabbas, but crucified Jesus. He said it's the same Jesus. The stone that was rejected by the builders is become now the chief cornerstone. He's become the chief cornerstone. Do you hear me? The very stone that they rejected now has become the chief cornerstone. He said this man stands here whole today. You and I are whole today because of the very stone that they rejected, that they called for his sacrifice. Give us Barabbas, but crucify Jesus. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, for the remission is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many, many other words, did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and they all had all things, and they all were together and had all things common. The Bible says here, neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must. Jesus is the only name. You said, but why did they say in Matthew 28:19, go into all the world and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? Because this was just, this is just speaking here. Give them, he was giving them a layout of this baptism message, but they would not get it until he leave this world. Because while he was in the world, they were preaching about the kingdom. They were preaching about the kingdom while he was in this world. But when he left the world, hallelujah, they begin to preach about this, the kingdom and baptism, the spirit and the water. See, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, singular, Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them. See, Jesus is the Father in creation. He is the Son in redemption. And he is the Holy Spirit living inside of us, keeping us. Now, here he told them in Mark chapter 16, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He didn't say they lay in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they shall lay hands on the sick. He said, but in his name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is a good day to receive the gift of salvation. And we thank God for you for being here. And we thank you for hearing this message. And we pray that you just give your life to Christ today. I don't have a long prayer for you. I just have the one that I believe the Holy Spirit is given to me. And if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, acknowledge your sin before him like David did in Psalm 51. Acknowledge your sin before the Lord and ask the Lord to forgive your sins. Tell the Lord, and while you're there and you're repentant, repenting means to turn away from whatever you've been doing, whatever been keeping you away from Christ, which is sin. Turn away all sin. Hallelujah. And see, when you reject Christ, his word, you're sinning. You know, everything that you say that is contrary to the word of God, cussing, drinking, whoremongering, all the stuff, everything that makes the flesh feel good. You know, the flesh don't feel good with the word of God. The spirit feels good. The spirit rejoices. But the flesh wants to do what makes the flesh feel good. You can put all that in the box. I don't have to tell you all the stuff. You know what makes the flesh feel good. If you're alive, you know what makes the flesh feel good. Well, it makes the flesh feel good is going to lead you away from Christ. And once you see that kind of stuff, no, I don't need to do that. That's what I got to stay away from. But you need to really ask the Lord Jesus, I denounce Satan and all of his agents in the world system. Jesus, I come to you in my sinful state, a sinner in need of a Savior. I acknowledge today that my sin has kept me away from you, from hearing your word, from wanting to be where your word is being taught. But today I realize after hearing the word that I was rebellious. I was hardened and stiff-necked. And I realize that I need to be lubricated with the word. And as I come today with expectancy in my heart, knowing that you're the only one who can set me free from this sin that's holding me in bondage in my mind, in my spirit, in my soul. Jesus, I believe, according to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, 10, and 11. I believe in my heart that you were crucified at Calvary, a hill called Golgotha, or the skull. I believe that you gave your life there on the cross, the righteous for the unrighteous, a holy man for unholy man like me. Yes, Lord, you allowed them to pierce you and nail you and crown you. I was not able to bear the crowns or the nails or the piercing, but you took them all for me. Tell him, yes, Jesus, I recognize that you did all this for me. And Jesus, I believe that you were buried in a barred tomb and that the Father raised you up out of that tomb on the third day. And you came up out of that tomb on the third day so that I could have a better understanding of what you have done at Calvary, that it was you, that you died and that you came alive on the third day. Jesus, I believe this with all my heart, mind, body, and soul. And today, according to 1 John 1 and 9, I confess my sins before you, Lord, and before man. And I know that you are faithful and just to forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I ask you today to wash me in your blood. Cleanse me. Wash me and make me whiter than snow, Lord. My sins have become like scarlet, but Lord, I want you to make me whiter than snow by washing me in your blood. Jesus, I ask you to order my steps in your word and let your word be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus, I acknowledge you as Lord and Savior and soon coming King. Come into my heart now, Lord Jesus, and take control of my mind, my body, and my soul. Show me the path I must go, Lord, and I will follow. If you just said that prayer, very uncommon prayer, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now, what you need to do is get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and ask the Holy Spirit to give you the clarification, the insight of what you're reading. Because a lot of times we open the book and we're studying, but we don't know what we're studying. That's why you say, well, I don't understand. I've been studying this thing for so long, but I just can't get it. Well, because you're not allowing the teacher to teach you. The Holy Spirit is your teacher, you know, until you get mature. When you get mature now, he'll just give you some, he'll just expand the word for you so you can see a little better. But, you know, you call him. I won't say you don't need to call him. You need to call him all the time because I still call on him. And I've been doing this for a while now, you know, going out there and preaching and teaching and even in here. You know, but I call him all the time because he's my helper. He is my guide. He's my teacher. He's my principal. So call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, somebody. Tell him, say, look, you know what? I got saved. I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I'm studying my word. I'm getting to know him even better. But I want to be and need to be baptized according to the word, according to Acts 2 and 38. I need to be baptized according to Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18. I need to be baptized. But before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, oh God, even your enemies, because you want everybody to see. This is the most important day of your life, the first day of April. They call it All Fools Day, but I don't call it All Fools Day because it's God's day. God's day is not an All Fools Day. But this is the day that you accepted, if you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, this will be your new spiritual birthday. And before you go down the water, which we call the liquid grave, you invite all your friends. But if the pastor says they don't baptize in the name of in Jesus' name, they say I baptize the Father, Son, and Holy. I say, well, that's okay. So, well, when I get my friends and family together, and so my co-workers, I will get back with you. And then look for a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and one who baptizes in Jesus' name. Why? Because you don't want to be created no animosity with the pastor that baptizes in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because that may be the very church that God sent you to be a minister in that church or become even the pastor of that church, you know. And you want to leave every bridge standing that you can walk over. You don't want to burn any bridges. So, you say, when you get baptized, and all the family and friends and co-workers and everybody's there, after you get baptized, you come up with that water, excited, because I know I was so excited, I kept running. I was running and praising and hallelujah and speaking in tongues and everything. I was so excited, I was so filled, never experienced a time like that. Then you search for a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved in ministry. Do something. I know a lot of things I've shown you. Get saved, people want to preach the gospel. There's no two scriptures want to preach. No, get to learn. Learn as much as you can. Let them teach you. Go to Sunday school. Go to Bible study. Get yourself involved in ministry. Start working around the church building, because you're the church now. You're carrying the Spirit of God inside of you. Start doing something. I started cleaning the church, cleaning the bathroom, vacuuming the sanctuary, picking up the trash around the church. That's where my ministry start. You know, not on the pulpit. It started around the church, cleaning the. I said, I didn't know a lot of scriptures. I said, Pastor, I cleaned the bathroom. You know, I'm a plumber. I'm an air conditioned man, a heat man. If the furnace go down, I'll fix it. I was excited. If the faucet break, I'll fix it. If the toilet break, I'll fix it. I was excited. Just know I could do something in the Lord's house. Some people have too much pride. They want to preach, but they don't want to clean up the church. If people drop the toffee paper, the chewing gum paper in the church, to stick them on the seat, all that stuff. When you see that stuff, you pick it off. You get some icing, put on the chewing gum, and take it up off the floor, off the seat. No, when you see markings on the seat, you take a rubber and you rub it out, or take one of them rubbing pads. You know, Mr. Clean Pad, and you rub it off. That's all. That's ministry. All that's ministry. Until you get to the knowledge that you can, now you can teach somebody. God bless you all you all that came on today. I'll open the line. If anybody wants to share something, you can share. If not, we're going to go ahead and close out. Get the line is open. Okay. Father God, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We bless your name. We praise your name. We honor you, God. Father, we recognize this is the day that you have made. And Father, we are rejoicing. We are glad you have given us another day in the land of the living. And we know we could not do this without you, Lord. So we're not even going to say that we could do it. We know we could not do this without you. You are our help. You are our strong tower. You are our mighty battle axe, God, and we thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, as we leave this line, but not your presence, we ask your blessings. We ask your mighty, strong arm to be upon us. Protect us, lead us, and guide us, Lord God. We ask you to keep Blog Talk family together. And, Lord, we ask you to heal, God. Heal, deliver, restore, God, comfort, mend, oh, God, strengthen. Lord, every area of our lives that we are weak, God, we ask you to strengthen. And every place that we are lacking, God, we ask you to fulfill. Oh, God, what a merciful God we serve. We just thank you, Father. We just thank you and praise you, oh, God, for this opportunity that you give us, Lord. Oh, we couldn't do this stuff without you, Lord. And we are so happy. We are so fortunate and we are so blessed that you have granted us. Now, as we leave this line, but not your presence, oh, God, we pray that the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel will rest upon us, that you will continue to bless us in the city, and you will bless us in the field. You will bless us when we come, and Lord, bless us when we go. God, continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath, Lord. Lord Jesus, make us the lenders and not the borrowers, oh God. Oh, Father God, we just thank you. We just praise you, Lord Jesus. Who is like you? There's no one like you, Jesus. Not in heaven, and not on earth, oh God, or under the earth. There's no one like you, Jesus. And we bless you, Lord. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest upon us, Lord, that you continue to reign. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Yes. Amen. Yes. And amen and amen. God, we just thank you. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, for you give us what we don't deserve, Lord God. But what we deserve, you never give to us, Lord. You are such a good God. You are such a righteous God. Oh, Father, we just thank you. We just praise you right now. We just honor you right now, God. We ask you, God, you're blessing the airways right now, God. I sense your presence are in the airways right now, God. And you blessing the airways, because in your wings there's blessings, oh, God. In your wings there are blessings, oh, God. Oh, God, there are mercy, oh, God. Oh, there's peace in your wings, Lord Jesus. And we honor you right now, Jesus, for your worthy, Lord. Lord God, we ask you to touch, oh God, the four wings, the four corners of the earth, the north, the south, the east, and the west, Lord God. We ask you to touch the president, the vice president, touch the Congress, the senators. Lord God, the Supreme Court Justice Department, they're having problems in the Supreme Court. But God, we know that you reign. We know you reign because your word says so. And because you reign, God, all things will turn out for your good, for all good and for your glory. Oh, Father, we just thank you right now for blessing this nation. This is the most blessed nation in the whole world. God, we ask you to remove those out of power that is causing problems, oh God, in the earth. Right now, Lord, remove the sick out of position, oh God, and put those that, oh God, discern healing and deliverance in their life, oh God. God, move right now, Lord God. We ask you to move on this nation, Father God, that the world will begin to take a shift. The world will take a shift for better. And God, as you do this, Lord, we'll give you praise. We'll give you glory. We'll give you honor, Lord Jesus. In your mighty name we praise, oh God. In your mighty name we pray, Lord God. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. I all have a blessed day. We'll talk to you later. Deacon Fraser, I will see you later tonight on the line, okay? I got to go. I got some things I got to do. I'll see you on the line tonight, Deacon. All right, my brother. God bless. Bye-bye.